As I've already stated, this is our third week in our journey through the book of Ecclesiastes, and I cannot emphasize enough how that you and I are learning together what it means to slow down to a life of joy and satisfaction and fulfillment as God intended for us to have. Solomon, the writer here, is giving us a retrospective view of how he lived his life. And essentially, over the 12 chapters, he's saying, don't be like me. Don't live your life like me, chasing after wealth and wisdom and the things of this world, living it without God as the centerpiece of your existence. That's the entire purpose of the 12 chapters. Don't be like me, Solomon is saying. And as we studied chapter 1, we saw how Solomon was just tired. He's at the end of his life and he is exhausted of how he lived his life with an earthly perspective rather than a heavenly perspective. And the moral of the sermon and the emphasis of chapter 1 is that we don't need to be too busy doing insignificant things, and we are too tired to do significant things. We don't need to be too busy doing bad things, that we're too tired to do the right things. That was the principle of chapter 1. And then we got to chapter 2 and we studied it and learned how Solomon's pursuit of ungodly pleasures, always living his life in constant motion, taking his body and pushing it to its very limits, all of these things had led him to collapse. A physical collapse and emotional collapse and spiritual collapse. And the principle of the message was, if we want to avoid collapse, then we must slow down and recognize that God designed human life to require rest. He designed your life and my life, our bodies, emotionally, physically, spiritually, to require rest, not only just to keep us healthy, but also this rest that energizes us for the priority of our weekly worship in Jesus Christ. And throughout the entire 12 chapters, we are learning that Solomon was a driven individual. He was driven. He was driven by his work. He was driven by his success. He was driven by even his fleshly desires. Wealth and wisdom and work and even wild living, as we saw at the beginning of chapter 2. These were all a part of his identity. But now at the end of his life, he has come to realize that he'd been deceived by those things. And now all that he lived for, he was utterly discontent. He was inwardly decaying and altogether depressed. He lived the majority of his life believing that he existed only for himself rather than believing he existed for God. Therefore, chapter 2 and verse 17 says, therefore he hated life. To him everything was vanity and vexation of spirit. Everything that life contained to him was void and meaningless and empty and inwardly decaying of his soul and spirit. And I want to remind you this morning, before we jump right into this, that the only reason you do exist is for Jesus Christ. That's it. God's just happened to give you a career. God has just happened to give you a place to live. God has just happened to give you things that you can enjoy in this life. But the reason you exist is not for yourself nor anyone else. You and I exist for God. And until we live our lives believing that we exist for God, we're going to feel just like Solomon. Decaying, depressed, discontent, hating life. And once again, as we approach chapter 3, we see Solomon's perspective of life, which, by the way, is life without God. That's his perspective. We see it again, living life without God. And this perspective of life, it's futile. It's a flawed logic, again, in chapter 3. Because the verses before us are one of the most popular passages of Scripture in the world. In fact, it's said that on Veterans Day, November the 11th, 1963, President John F. Kennedy visited Arlington National Cemetery to pay his respects to the fallen heroes. Gazing over the rolling Virginia hillside from the view of the Arlington House, he remarked, and I quote, "It is so beautiful that I could stay here forever." 2 weeks later, he returned in a flag-draped coffin to be buried beneath an eternal flame. The significance of all of that is it is said that President Kennedy's favorite passage from the Bible was these verses in Ecclesiastes chapter 3. That to everything, there's a season, a time to be born, and a time to die. And I hope you'll be gracious to my carnal mindset, but it was also in that same year in 1963 that the birds wrote and penned a song called Turn, Turn, Turn. It's quite fascinating. I couldn't study Ecclesiastes chapter 3 this week without singing that little tune in my head. And so I pulled it up on YouTube. And once I get it off from beginning to end, I'm usually good for the rest of the day. But it was fascinating that every words of that song that the birds sing, Turn, 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 is recorded in the King James English right here in chapter number 3. What's the message of all of this? The message is slow down and cherish this moment right now. Slow down and cherish this time now. This season now. Cherish this moment today. God has a purpose for it. Good or bad, whatever the season of life may be, whatever this moment is for you right now, and for some of you it's that kind of a moment. But whatever it is, cherish it. Cherish it. Because God is working out His will for your life. And He's doing it in His time for this your season. And I want you to learn three very valuable principles from chapter 3. Number one, here's the first one. You'll see it there in your notes. Number one, life is a series of seasons. Life, the culmination of it, the makeup of your life, no matter how old you are, life is a series of seasons. It's why he says here in verse 1, to everything there is a season, a time to every purpose. And then the next seven verses, he lists all the different seasons and times of life that we experience. Now, all of us recognize the natural seasons that God has created. Winter, spring, summer, and fall all have their God-ordained purpose in this world. Most often, my personal favorite season is fall. I like fall because it's not too cold. Neither is it too hot most of the time. North Carolina can trip us up every once in a while. But most of the time, fall is not too cold. It's not too hot. I love the smell of a backyard fire pit in fall. I just love that time of the season. The taste of pumpkin pie. Both of those things resonate with me. And I love the little candy corns that people bring me limitless baggages of. I, I love it. Fall is one of my favorite times of the year. Not to mention football season begins during the fall. And it's just one of my favorite seasons. Now, I think the common thread, regardless of what your favorite season is, the common thread in most all of our lives is that we have a tendency to complain about every season of the year. That's our tendency. In the midst of a cold winter, after a few ice storms or a couple of snowfalls, we get restless and we eagerly anticipate spring. And then once spring comes and we get all of this rain and all of this immense allergies going through our nose and out our ears, you know, we get to have a little more than we can take. And so we get restless and we eagerly anticipate summer. And then when summer arrives, right about this time, as the temperatures are starting to rise and the scorching hot days and the unbearable North Carolina humidity, what happens? We get restless and we begin to eagerly anticipate fall. But halfway through fall, we know that before long, we're going to get that first snowfall of the year. It is going to be pretty and it's going to be beautiful. So as a result, what do? I can't wait for fall to be over. And I eagerly anticipate winter. And then when winter comes, guess what? That cycle of complaining, it starts all over again. We have a tendency to complain about any season of nature that we are in. And I think the same is true about the seasons of our life. Whatever season your life is experiencing right now, the tendency is that you and I will wish it away or hurry it along. I can't wait for this season of my life to be over, because when it gets to the next season, everything's going to be better. Young people are probably worse at this than anybody, right? You're young, and once you begin to really recognize that there's going to come a day where you get to drive the car, and you can't wait for that season of your life, and then you can't wait to get married, and then you can't wait to have children. You're just hurrying along, wishing away the moment that exists now, just anticipating what the next season may bring. And look at it from the perspective of our text here in chapter 3. Because the seasons of life, they affect us in different ways at different times. For example, some seasons affect our physical life. Look at it in verse number 2. Solomon said there's a time to be born and a time to die. A time to plant, a time to pluck up. Verse 3, a time to kill and a time to heal, a time to break down and a time to build up. He is outlining what you and I already know, that sometimes we go through moments, through seasons, through times in life where they affect us physically. Maybe we're getting older and we're feeling pain in places we've never felt before. We're going through a season. And maybe you're going through a season where you're bearing a child, maybe not just one, but two children, Yvette, and the discomfort and the physical trauma that's going to take you into is a little discomforting. Maybe you're struggling with cancer, some illness that has you sick from day to day, and you don't know from one week to the next how it's going to make you feel. Maybe it's a season where you've just welcomed a new life into your family. Maybe it's a season where you've just put down life in your family. Every moment, every time, every season, sometimes these seasons of life affect us physically. Sometimes seasons affect us emotionally. There's nobody being born, there's nobody dying, there's nobody sick, but the mental and emotional struggles that you're going through is rather exhausting. Now look at what he says in verse number 4. He says, there's a time to weep and a time to laugh, There's a time to mourn and there's a time to dance. There's a time to cast away stones. There's a time to gather stones. There's a time to embrace and hug. And there's a time where I don't want to touch you. Because some seasons affect us physically. Some seasons we're crying and we don't know why we're crying. We're down. We're emotionally struggling. Seasons affect us physically, emotionally. There are some seasons of life that affect us spiritually. God sends us through a season for the sole purpose that we will revive ourselves spiritually. Look at verse number 6. There's a time to get, there's a time to lose, there's a time to keep, there's a time to cast away. There's a time to rend, there's a time to sow, a time to keep silent, a time to speak. A time to love, a time to hate, a time of war, a time of peace. There's often times in our life where different seasons will bring different emotions at different times. Sometimes this season of our life affects us physically. Sometimes this season of our life affects us emotionally. Then maybe the next season is back to physical. And now this season is spiritual. The point that I'm trying to make is oftentimes we have a tendency to hurry the seasons along and to wish them away because they affect us in different ways. And do you see in these 8 verses what takes place in every season? It's fascinating to me. Every season. Whether it's affecting you physically, emotionally, or spiritually, every season has 2 things in it. It has both burdens and blessings. Every season of life. Because that's what life is. Life is a series of seasons. And with every season, with every moment, with every time that God has ordained for us, there are in those moments both blessings and burdens. And we need to learn to expect them both in every season. Just look at it. Verse 2, there's a time to be born. What is that? That's a blessing. It's a blessing. It's a blessing. I'm trying to convince some of you. This is going to be a blessing, all right? This is going to be a blessing. There's a time to be born. That's a blessing. There's a time to die. That's a burden. They're both affect us in the physical seasons of life. One's a blessing. One's a burden. Just keep going. There's a time to plant. Well, that's a it's a blessing. It's enjoyable. There's a time to pluck up. But we talk about the weeds to get it out. That's it's a burden. There's a time to kill. There's a time to heal. So we have a burden in the time to kill. There's a time to heal. There's the blessing. There's a time to break down the burden. There's a time to build up the blessing. There's a time to weep the burden. A time to laugh the blessing. The time to mourn the burden. A time to dance the blessing. You get it. You keep on reading. Every season of life, what he's saying here is that there are both burdens and blessings in every season of life. Even the one you're in right now, that all you can see is the burdens. God wants you to know that even in this moment, at this time, in this season, there are some blessings. And a couple things I'm learning about the seasons of life is, number one, and these are not in your notes, I just wrote them down in mine. I wrote, seasons are out of my control. The seasons of life are out of my control. I can't keep them from coming. It's summer, right? We're going to get ready to go into my favorite season, the fall. And then we're going to go into the winter. I can't stop that from happening. It's going to happen. It's going to come. They're out of my control. There's some things that I can do in each season that I'm in. I can certainly rake the leaves during the fall, and I can cut the grass during the summer. There's some things that require my diligence. Are you with me? There's some things that require my attention, no matter what season of life I'm in, whether it's in my marriage, with my kids, with my career, physically, emotionally, spiritually. There's some things that I'm responsible for, but I can't stop that season from coming. It's going to happen. It's going to come. There's no skip button that I can hit to go on to the next one. It's out of my control. I can't keep the season from coming, and I can't control how it comes. We're a little blessed to live where we live, because for the most part, none of our seasons are really immensely miserable. I think if there were probably one that we most complain about, it would be the middle of July, when both the humidity and the heat is a little more than we would like to take. But travel with me into some other places around the country and the world, and you would think we have it just fine here. The one thing about North Carolina weather, you cannot predict how it's going to happen. You can't. They pay these meteorologists hundreds of thousands of dollars, and they can't get it right. Because you can't control it. You can't control how it's going to come. I remember when I was a kid, remember Hurricane Hugo coming to town? I slept through Hurricane Hugo. Now, our dog didn't, that my dad accidentally left outside of the backyard. Because the meteorologist told us when we went to bed that night that this is going to go right up Charleston, the coastline. It ain't going to affect us. And then middle of the night, all of a sudden, the eye is over Charlotte. And we experienced all the, probably the worst storm that Charlotte has experienced. You think about the snows when it comes. You know, they get, oh, it's only going to be an inch or two. And you wake up and there's 2 inches on the ground. Why? I can't control the seasons. I can't control when they come. And you can't control how they come. Every life has a season. But here's the second thing I'm learning about seasons of life. I wrote this statement down. Seasons are only for a time. That's what he says here. To everything there's a season and a time to every purpose. Time. There's a time. There's a moment. Some seasons are longer than others. Some seasons are shorter than others, but it's only for a time. You're only going through this for a moment. And I just want to say to you, if the outlook of your season right now is bleak and negative, I'll get out of here a minute. If what you're facing right now is just a little bit of a struggle, I just want you to know it's only for a time. It's only for a time. It's only for a time. Now, you can go through every one of these. A time to be born, the blessings. A time to die, there's the burdens. If you're a believer in Christ, the separation that you have between you and your loved one, it's only for a short season, a short time. And we could go on and on through these burdens of life and just remember that this season I'm in, it's only for a time. God is sovereignly in control of every time and every season of my life. Life is a series of seasons. I'm going to apply that at the end of the message, but I need you to understand that's where this message begins. No matter how old or how young you are, what you're going through, what you're facing today, your life since the day you took your first breath until the moment you take your last breath, your life is the culmination of a series of lifelong seasons that God takes you through. And there is not a moment in your life where you're not in a season. Life is a series of seasons. And it's a series of seasons under the divine appointment of God's sovereign control. The season you're in, God allowed it. In some cases, God made it happen. Because every season of life, every time, every moment is under the divine appointment of God. Life is a series of seasons. Let me give you the second point here. Number two, I must hurry. There is beauty in every season of life. There is beauty of every season of life. You think about it in the natural seasons. I mean, the leaves in the fall, the snow, it's maybe drive you crazy, but it's beautiful. There's beauty in all of it. The spring flowers, the summer green grass. Now, mine's not green, but I'm hoping and praying that there's a blessing out of this burden. There's beauty in every season. And I think if you would allow verse 11 here in chapter 3 to sink in, it would radically change your life. You say, well, Pastor, I'm going through a hard season of life. What do you mean I can find beauty in this moment? Because of verse 11, look at it. He, God, hath made everything beautiful in his time. Every season you're going through, God makes beautiful. Every time you experience, God can make beauty out of it. Every moment that you're facing, he makes everything beautiful. And that, my friend, is one of the most amazing verses in all the Old Testament. That he makes everything beautiful. That everything in life has a purpose. And that means that every season of life has a purpose. Whether we're facing it physically, emotionally, spiritually, whether it's coming hard or coming light, a long season, short season, every season has a purpose. And despite what Solomon previously said about the vanity and vexation of life, I want you to understand that life is not empty, that life is not random, that life is not godless. Life is full, and it is precisely ordained the way God wants it to be. And what he's saying here in verse number 11 is this: in God's time, not in your time, not in my time, but in God's time, you will see the beauty of his plan. Ecclesiastes 3:11 is the Old Testament equivalent of Romans 8:28. It says, and we know that all things, all seasons of life, they work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. Now let's be honest, we have no issue claiming this verse for the good seasons of life. But the measure of your walk with Christ is when you can claim this verse in the difficult seasons of your life. So this season you're in that you don't think is too good, do you really believe in your heart as you look to the Word of God through faith and trust that he will make everything beautiful in this your season? Yeah, but because when you look over the list, when babies are being born and things are being planted and healing is coming and building up is, and there's laughing and there's dancing and there's gathering and there's embracing. I mean, those moments, oh, sure, all things work together to make us laugh. All things work together to make us dance. All things work together to make it beautiful. But what about when there's death? And plucking up and killing and breaking down and weeping and mourning. What God is wanting us to know, that no matter what season of life you're in, there is beauty in it. And it takes both the blessings and the burdens sometimes to see that picture. My wife is sitting awkwardly at the piano this morning. Because I asked her to. I wanted to illustrate something to you. She's going to play Jesus Loves Me using only the white keys on the piano. The white keys are what we would refer to as the positive keys, the whole keys. They're nice sounding. They're the do, re, mi, fa, sol, la, ti, do keys. And so she's not going to play any black keys, which are traditionally the minors, the sharps, the flats, the weird sounding ones. Jesus Loves Me with just the white keys. And I want you to listen to this. That's pretty terrible, isn't it? Now that's the illustration of the good keys, the good moments, the blessings. But now I want you to play Jesus Loves Me. She's going to still use the white keys, the good moments. Now we're going to throw the flats and the sharps and those minor keys, those ones that nobody likes to play. Go ahead and throw those in. It sounds a little better. Why? Because in music, you have to have both the major keys and the minor keys. You have to have the good keys and the bad keys, so to speak. And when they come together, they make a melody that is beautiful. And I think at times that's what the Lord is saying here. We think it's only the white keys. It's only the do, re, mi keys. It's only these that are going to bring about music that my life will enjoy. And what we don't understand is that sometimes there has to be some negative seasons. There has to be some moments where some flats and some sharps come into the music of life. But when God brings them together, guess what? He makes everything beautiful in His time. And what do? I just got to trust God to be God. And I think one of the most humanistic things that you and I could ever do is try to attempt at being God. I have to let God be God. His plan is good. There's beauty in even in difficult seasons. Well, Pastor, I want to know why the difficulty of this season. Why is God allowing this to happen to me? And I've got to be honest with you. I can't always answer that question. In fact, no one can answer that question. But what I can say is this. Everything God does is linked to eternity. Look at it again in verse 11. He has made everything beautiful in His time. Also, He has set the world in their heart. That phrase, the world, is an implication of eternity. That means every season that God brings us in is with eternity in mind. Why? Because He's put eternity in our hearts, every heart. The saved and the unsaved have this longing for eternity. They have this longing for spiritual purpose and meaning. Who's put that there? God has put that there. Because He wants you to seek Him. He wants you to search Him out. He makes everything beautiful in His time. Why? Because every season, every moment, every time that God takes us through in this journey of life, it is always linked to eternity. It's not linked to the here and now. It is linked to the by and by. It's linked to eternity. That's what I can tell you. I don't know why you're facing this. I don't know why you're going through it. But I know this season is linked to eternity. Because God has put eternity in your heart. And here's the second thing I can tell you. That only in eternity will we comprehend it all. I know that seems like a cop out. I know when people come to me and say, Pastor, can you explain this, 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 and this, and this, and these things in the Bible, and these things not in the Bible, and all this explanation and speculation. And I know it seems like I'm not well studied, and it's a cop out, and I don't want to answer it when I just say, you know what, I can't explain that to you. But look at what he says at the end of verse 11. No man can find out the work that God taketh from beginning to the end. No man can figure that out. So stop trying. Because there's not a person in this world who can answer the question, why? There's not a person who can say, I can explain why God did this from beginning to end. He said, nobody can explain that. Only in eternity will we comprehend all that's went on in my life. But it's guaranteed there's beauty in every season of my life. Vance Havner once said, God writes over some of our days. Just picture your life in heaven that God has a calendar for it. And today is May the 30th, right? Is it May the 30th? It's May 29th. Say in heaven, he has your name, Jim Howe. He's got all the other days of the month marked off, and now he's coming down here to May 30th. And maybe Jim's going to face some things that he can't understand today. And what does God sometimes do? He writes, "We'll explain later." That's a comforting thought, isn't it? Some of those things that I go through every day of my life, I'm not necessarily going to see it in full now. But one day, later, in eternity, I'll comprehend it all. There's beauty in every season of life. And what you and I have to do is we have to trust God that He is making all things beautiful in His time. Now here is the punch of the message, and I'm already out of time. I'm thinking about everybody gone out of town, but I'm just out of time. Here's what I want to say, and I'll just bear with me. We may run over just a little bit. Number three, be content in this moment and cherish this season. Be content in this moment and cherish this season. Now quickly, in the remainder of the chapter, I don't have time to read all the remainder of the verses, but Solomon focuses on death. I read verses 19 and 20 for you at the beginning of the message. Now the principle that God would have us learn here is this. He's talked about seasons of life. Life is a series of seasons in verses 1 through 8. Verses 9 through 11, he's talked about how there's beauty even in every season. Now, verses 12 all the way down through 22, here's what he's saying. He's saying, cherish the season. Cherish this moment, here it is, while you can. Slow down, Solomon is saying. Slow down. Don't hurry it along. Don't wish it away. Slow down and cherish the moment while you can. Why? Because life doesn't stand still. And summer's here today. Enjoy it today because it's going to be fall and then it's going to be winter. It doesn't slow down. These moments don't last forever. By the way, that's not the problem. The problem is not that life doesn't last forever or that these moments do not stand still. The problem is that we don't cherish the moments. That's the problem. Verses 12 through 15 of chapter 3, he tells us to rejoice, to do good, to enjoy the moments of life because they don't last forever. Look at verse 13, or just look at verse 12. He says, I know that there's no good in them, but for a man to rejoice and to do good in his life. He says, here's what God wants you to do. God wants you to be happy. God wants you to have joy. He wants you to enjoy the good of this life. Look at verse 13. And also that every man should eat and drink and enjoy the good of all his labor. It's the gift of God. What he's saying is everything you have, God's given it to you so that you can enjoy. There's nothing wrong with having things if God has given you those things. There's nothing wrong with having amusements if God allows you to have that amusement. He's saying, here's life. It's my gift to you. Enjoy it while you can. And you're looking at a guy who loves life, because I think life is an awesome gift from God. It's better than the alternative. I love this life. I'm glad God allowed me to be born. And this gift that God allows, it's not meant to be spent hurrying along or wishing away every season of life that we experience. There's beauty in this season. Be content, I believe is the message here, and cherish the moment. I think when most Christians approach the end of life, they're going to have two major regrets. Just my theory. The first regret, I think, is obvious. I think almost every believer who stands at the judgment seat of Christ, their first and most prominent regret is going to be, I wish I had served and worshiped God more faithfully. Well, that's what you're going to be doing forever. And I think that's going to be the first regret. I wish I'd have been more faithful to read my Bible. I wish I'd have prayed more. I wish I'd have had a ministry in my church that I could have served in and helped people come to know Jesus. I wish I would have served and worshiped God more faithfully. I think that's the first regret. Here's what I think the second regret's going to be. I wish I would have taken advantage of this joyful life Christ offered me. I wish I would have taken advantage of this joyful life that Christ offered me. God doesn't expect you to live an Amish life. He's given you life to enjoy. Go to a game. Enjoy it. Make those memories. Spend time with your family. Take that vacation you've always wanted to take. Do it. And John told me, Athcock, he said, Pastor Dave and I were able to buy a boat. Now, before you think this is the yacht of the year, ask John. This is not the yacht of the year, all right? But God allowed him to buy a boat from a family member. He told me that. He said, Terry, I hope she's not looking down. She's going to be so upset if we bought this boat. I told him, I said, you ought to name it Wavo. David, let him name it Wavo. Let him put Wavo on the side because that's all Terry called. Wavo is Spanish for egghead, all right? That's what Terry called John. Cherish the moment. Fix that boat up. Enjoy it. Have fun. You only have one life. Take that vacation you've always wanted. Pursue that fun hobby. Relax around the pool. Slow down. Cherish the moment. Now, not from the sense, or I'm going to give up my relationship with God. I'm not going to go to church anymore. That's not what I'm saying. And any reasonable spiritual person will understand that. I'm just saying, God gave you this life to enjoy. Don't hurry it along. Slow down. Cherish the moment. Be content. Enjoy the season. I suppose my wife and I talk about this rather frequently. Because we both go through a few things here and there. My wife will often face the overwhelming nature of this particular season that she's in. And some of you have been through that season. It's encouraging to her when you help her and give her words of joy throughout it. Because she carries a lot of roles. She's the pastor's wife. She's the church pianist. She's the mother to four kids. I'm the oldest. It can be hard. The season's hard for her more than it is for me. It's hard for her. Sundays are unbelievably crazy. She gets here, I think, has to be here by 8 o'clock for the piano, which means the kids have to come too. And then we'll have to stay through both services, and we'll get them home and nap around 1:30 or 2, and then she'll have to be back for choir practice at 4. It's a hard season. It's a hard season for us. Some people are so gracious, others not so much at times, even unthoughtful. She had a guest not long ago sit down and told her how that she wasn't sure that she could be her pastor's wife because she was always up there and things like that, and just so unthoughtful and ungracious and lack of understanding. And if I'm not careful, and this is not Kathleen, this is me, I want to help my wife, I want to encourage her, and so if I'm not careful from time to time, I'll say things, well, once they get older, you know. Obviously, you're the pianist, you drive the music. I mean, Jared thinks he does, but really you do, and no, Jared knows that. I mean, so we can't take you from over there, and so my natural response at times, well, once they get older, it'll be fine. Once there's not so many bottles to give and so many naps to have to enforce and those type of things, and then you're thinking about, okay, once they're old enough to maybe stay at home by themselves, it'll get a little easier, and then once they have their license and they can drive, then we won't have to worry about all taking them with us at all hours of the day when we're trying to do ministry. And it's as if I'm trying to hurry the season along. And oftentimes in those moments, the Lord has brought great conviction in my life, reminding me that I better cherish the moment and be content in this season, because Kate's not five forever, and Keegan's not three forever, and Ellie's not one forever. One day they'll be gone out of the house. And when that moment comes, I don't want to regret not slowing down and cherishing the season. I think about it from our church from time to time. I mean, once we started 8 years ago, we have been going full speed, buying property, building buildings, expanding auditoriums, parking lot, people joining the church, 50, 60 a year. And I'll be honest with you, we're in a little different season right now, and I can't explain it. I feel like for the first time in 8 years, I'm doing exactly what God wants me to do. I'm emphasizing prayer like never before, yet our Wednesday night service has never been so slackly attended. And I'm confused. I feel like my preaching through both public and private life is as pure as ever, yet our baptisms are really slow this year. I'm confused. I'm wondering why this season. Let's hurry it along, God. You've kind of slowed us down a little bit. We're not seeing as many join the church, as many get baptized. The numbers aren't out the roof. I mean, we have more people than we've ever had. Don't get me wrong, we're not digressing. It's just a different season. It's a different season. But even in this season, there's something God wants me to know. There's beauty that he wants me to see. And I'm not sure that I know what that is yet, but I think what God is saying is just slow down and cherish the moment. Enjoy this season of life and ministry that you're in. It's not going to last forever. It's only for a time. I have a purpose for it. There is beauty in it. Be content. And I play the same games you play with your career. Was my time up? That's the pastor question of their life. Every pastor, through every season he goes through, is my time up? Is it time for us to move on? Have we done all we can do? We need to turn it over to somebody else and go somewhere. Maybe we need to start a new church. Maybe I need to sell vacuum cleaners. I don't know. But maybe I do need to just, maybe it's me. Is it me? What have I done? And God just has to just slow down and be content in the season. Cherish the moment. There's beauty in it. A cycle of life will never change. Are you listening? A cycle of life will never change. Only our perspective can change. So whatever season you're in and whatever next season brings for you, be content and cherish it. Expect burdens in that season. Expect blessings in that season. But be content and cherish each moment that you have, because they don't last forever.